Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Now that everybody's encouraged somewhat. 95% encouraged. That's good. I'll take that. I like that prognosis when I go to the doctor. Amen. And that's good. That's a hallelujah. And in 3 years, the rapture is probably going to happen anyway. So they can do with it what they want after that. Amen. And they can have basketball tournaments in there. As they will. And they can let the Antichrist lead them on the team. All right. Whoever's left. We may not be here in 3 years. That'd be all right. That's good news. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Look at verses 20 through 24, and then we're going to go over to Ephesians. We're going to talk about marriage tonight, so if you need to get up and leave, that's fine. Genesis chapter 2, and we'll talk about this subject. This will be my title tonight, is Get It Right. By the way, if we don't get marriage right, we get a lot of other things wrong. And I want to show you that comparison in the Scripture, how we need to get it right. And so look at Genesis chapter 2. We'll look at the law first mentioned. Here is Genesis chapter 2, verse 20. The Bible says, "And Adam gave names to all the cattle, the fowl of the air, every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him." So could you imagine this? All the animals came by, and that word helpmeet, if we wanted to use a different word, there was not a completer there. Nothing made him complete, even though all these, the animal kingdom came by and he named them, and all of this happened, and he was put in charge of all of this, but yet he was still incomplete in himself. Well, God being God knew that before Adam was even formed. And verse 21 says, "And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam." And everybody's always said that that's the last good sleep a man ever had. And I didn't say that. Brother Tramar said that. So, "And he slept and took one of his ribs." Now notice this. It says, "And he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." Notice what happened. That's a marriage ceremony. He brought her to him. That's the way God did it. Now verse 23 tells us a little more. He said, "And Adam said, hello." That's what he said. That was in the Greek, all right? It's in the Hebrew. "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Now, verse 24, I love this that it's here because I want you to be reminded, Adam and Eve had no mother and had no father. This verse is put in here because this verse is going to lead us all the way through eternity. Amen? God put it there, not necessarily for Adam and Eve, but He put it there because God was making a design. God was making a foundation, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit, and He started it off saying, "Shall a man..." Now notice this, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be" what? "One flesh." God started it off correct. The only time marriage gets out of whack is when man gets involved. And if we stay with God's design, then we stay with God's promises and blessings upon the marriage. Notice Ephesians, if you will. Everybody knows these verses. It's nothing new tonight. Ephesians, if you'll turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 5, of course. Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to look at a few verses here. I was teaching today, and I know Brother Crawford teaches the same thing on Wednesdays. We kind of overlap on some of our stuff, but the statement is that if you don't get Genesis 1 through chapter 11, you're going to be off on all of your doctrine. You're going to be off on all of your theology down throughout the rest of the Bible. God instituted a lot of things in Genesis chapter 1 through chapter 11. And if we mess that up, we're going to be messed up on how we view the church. We're going to be messed up on how we view a man and woman's relationship with each other. And so notice what Jesus says here through His Word, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. The Bible says, "Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands..." By the way, it's amazing that the Lord didn't have to tell the woman to love the husband. You know why? Because women automatically love. That's just how God built y'all. Amen. I can prove it to you. We go outside and there's a dog laying in the road who goes, oh, we need to stop. It's the what's the guy want to do? I ain't going to tell you. You know? Run over it again. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it, what, the church, right, the bride, all right, might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives. He said it twice. Husbands, I think it's pretty important that we love our wives. I like how it puts your wife. Amen. Love your wives as they are own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For, now notice this, verse 29 says, for no man has ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and flesh and of his bones. For this cause, he's going to say the same thing he said in Genesis chapter 2. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be what? One flesh. A lot of people think that Ephesians chapter 5 is a writing about marriage. It is in some cases, but we got to read the next verse because it tells us why he's writing this. He says, this is a great mystery, but speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and his wife see that she reverence her husband. God gave us these verses to give us an example of the church, how the church should be. And by the way, you get marriage out of place. You take Genesis chapter 2 marriage and you erase that and you make your own. You remake the look of the church. That's what's happened in America today. People don't understand what the church is because they don't understand what the family is. They don't understand what true marriage is. And can I say we must get it right. If we get it wrong, we get the look of the church wrong. I'm not bashing a homosexual marriage and all that. I'm saying any marriage that is not right is giving a bad picture of what the church and the bride is. Us in Christ, the bride and the bridegroom, look. And so we must get it right. And I believe we must start right here in the Bible. Amen. Keep it straight and keep it where the Lord put it. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day. Lord, we do thank you for the variances and thank you for their decisions tonight. And Lord, we know you'll work all things out. And Lord, you've just been so good to us here at this church. And God, your hand's upon our church and your blessing. And Lord, we're very thankful for that. Lord, I ask you to bless tonight. And Lord, I realize tonight that I have nothing to say within myself. But Lord, I yield myself to you, to the Holy Spirit, and to your will and word. And ask that you would help me just to convey a message that you've laid upon my heart. Help us now to understand marriage. And Lord, we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So look at the first thing tonight. We see the foundation of a right marriage. A foundation of a right marriage. Everybody knows this verse, but I want to say it again. Psalm 127:1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You can say that you're building a family, but if it's not a husband and wife, I'm telling you, it is not according to God's design. We must stay and keep it right. We must keep marriage right. Why? Because if the foundation be destroyed, what will the righteous do? Folks, I'm telling you, our foundation is being attacked today. The foundation is what? The foundation is found back in Genesis. It's called marriage. God instituted marriage. God invented marriage. God designed marriage. God always had marriage on His mind for Adam and Eve. He always saw that. And down through time, He wanted us to safekeep that. And can I say it doesn't matter what the world does, it's according to what we do. And keeping my marriage right, keeping your marriage right, and living it according to God's plan. And guess what? What's happening today is that the world is doing their own thing. And by the way, there's not much we're going to be able to do to change it. Except for, and I'll get on that later. I almost gave away my last point. That would have been bad. We could have quit. In Genesis chapter 2, we have the Creator. We have Him bringing the woman. It says that He made woman and brought her unto the man, brought Eve unto Adam, and performed the first wedding ceremony. God wanted to establish, just as He established the church and not Peter. Amen. God's the inventor of all things. Amen. And we must see that God invented marriage and that God wanted marriage to be that of a union of a man and of a woman. Turn over to Matthew, if you will. Matthew chapter 6, I believe it is. Matthew chapter 6. I want you to look at a few verses here. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 4. For some reason that doesn't sound right. Anyway, it was important. It ain't in there. It's there somewhere. It's probably Mark chapter 6. Who knows? I can't read my own writing. I knew when I said it, it didn't sound right. Anyway, we'll come back to it later on. Go home and look all those verses up, okay? Here we go. So keep going. The foundation of marriage. Let no man put asunder. Wherever that is, you find it here in a minute. What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. That word asunder means don't let anybody separate it. Keep it together, my friends. We need to keep our marriages together. That word asunder means three things. It means to separate, divide, or divorce. We must keep our marriages together. By the way, there's some people that are together, but they're divorced. They're living two different lives. They may not have had the bill of divorcement, but there's some marriages that we must keep that foundation there. We must keep our churches. We must keep our families in our churches. We must keep our marriages together. Why? Because there's people looking and people that are looking for an example of what a marriage is today. Kids are so confused in what they see today. You know, it's so sad. You know, you walk anywhere with your kids nowadays, you see a lot of unions. Not a lot of marriages. The second thing we see tonight is the fundamentals of a right marriage. There has to be fundamentals. There's fundamentals of football. There's fundamentals of basketball. There's fundamentals of doctrines that we hold to. But there's also fundamentals of marriage, of a right marriage. What are they? Look at verse 21. It gives it to us. It says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's the first fundamental of marriage, is that if we want to keep marriage right, we have to submit ourselves to the Lord. That'll keep us out of a lot of trouble. We always like to skip that first verse, don't we? Us men, we like the next one. Woman, submit yourselves to me. We like that one, but we don't like the first one. It says, submit yourselves unto the fear of the Lord. Look at what it says again. He says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We must submit ourselves before God. And knowing that He is... Why do we submit to God? Because He created it. If we want direction in our marriage, you can read books and some of them will help. But the greatest direction you'll get in your marriage and greatest help you'll get in your marriage is from God. Amen. And from this book. Why not go to the person who invented it? Amen. Amen? I mean, we'll go, and I'm not against counseling. Trust me, I'm not. I'm just saying is that we need to go to the Lord. And if God sends you counseling, hallelujah. Use those avenues. Use all resources that you have. But I want to go to the guy who invented it. I want to go to God and say, God, you instituted marriage. You invented, you designed it. You laid the foundation for it. God, I need help in this marriage. And God will give you the direction you need. He may give it through pastor. He may give it through Miss Linda. He may give it through a friend. He may give it to a brother in Christ, a Sunday school teacher. But He will give it to you. Why? Because God wants to keep marriages together. Amen. You study marriage, there's one word that pops up. Reconciliation. Reconciliation. What is that? That's between you and your brother. That's between you and your wife. God wants us all to be reconciled together. God want, why? Because that creates unity. There's so much disharmony in the home, and we wonder why there's such disharmony in the church. It feeds, doesn't it? We see the fundamentals. Notice the next one. Here's the next fundamental of a right marriage. Verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. As unto who? The Lord. I'm submitting myself to my husband because I'm submitting unto the Lord through my husband. Why? We don't like this anymore, do we? And I'm not going to labor here because I don't want to get killed after church, but I'm telling you is that when a wife submits to the husband and the husband submitted to God, that is a right marriage. That marriage is working on all cylinders. That marriage is the way God designed it. If it was up to me, I'd say, women, take over. But that's not the way God designed it. God designed it so that the husband could be the head. And by the way, husbands, when you get to heaven, He's going to hold you accountable. Amen. Amen. He's going to hold you accountable according to your family and according to how you raise your kids and how you treated your wife. And one thing that irritates me is to hear a man call his wife his old lady. Yeah. I'm glad God don't shoot lightning bolts down. Yeah. You better cherish her. Amen. Some of you need to look in the mirror, men. God gave you a great catch. Amen. I'm looking in the mirror too. We're blessed. We ought to treat them as a queen like they are. We ought to treat them like they're valuable and treat them as if they're precious to us because they are. And notice verse 25. We see the other fundamental of marriage is love your wives. Notice what he says, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. And did what? He gave himself for it. What does that mean? It means willing to sacrifice for your wife. Amen. Yeah. Ooh, glory. Gentlemen, we're going to have to sacrifice some things for our wives. Amen. Every now and then, I can see in my wife sometimes, you know, I need to spend time with her. I can see it in my kids. I need to spend time with them. I can see it. And see, sometimes I need to spend time with all of them together or separate, whatever it may need. And you have to watch that. Why? Because my family is most important to me. I'm telling you, me and pastors talked about this, and I said this at school today, is that there was a generation before us said, just serve, and let your family tend to themselves. I'm not of that generation. I don't want to lose my family. My family is what God gave me. Amen. There's a lot of preachers, there's a lot of Christians out there who are trying to rescue people out there and they're losing their own families. I'm going to lose my family on my knees and they're going to have to drag me. That's how I'm going to lose my family. I want to do all I can to keep my kids. And three ingredients, I saw this a while back, three ingredients to a marriage that are fundamentals of a right marriage. Number one, love. Just love them. By the way, you're not always going to agree. Amen. Here's the next one. I don't like this one, but I'm going to say it because it's one of them. Listen. What'd you say? Amen. Listen. Amen. One of the most, Pastor knows this, the most people I've ever counseled with about marriage is over communication. Well, I didn't hear him say that. That's because you didn't listen. Well, I didn't hear her say that. It's because you didn't listen. You know why? Because we get our minds made up, don't we? And we, whoop, I'm not listening. Amen. Listen, the third thing is loyalty. Be loyal to your spouse. Be loyal to your spouse. I've seen men treat waitresses better than their wives. God help us. Love, listen, and loyalty. Three fundamentals that'll keep our marriages. Why? Because here it is, the fruit of the marriage. The last thing tonight, the fruit of a right marriage. The fruit of a right marriage. What is it? I want you to notice in verse 26. Well, this got a hold of me today. As I was rewriting this down, notice verse 26. The Bible says that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. He's talking about the church, but also he's using the analogy of the family. Notice what he says, verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. By the way, the marriage ought to be holy. You're joined in what matrimony? In holy matrimony. By the way, I believe this. I believe, here's what happens. Listen to me. Here's the fruit of a right marriage. Number one, a clean environment to live in. Fathers, you clean the house out. How do you do it? You do it by the Word. You keep the Word of God in your home and you keep the devil out. You keep the Word of God in your home. And can I tell you, you'll have a clean environment to raise kids in. You'll have a clean environment when people come over. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. If you look it up in another version, it says, as for me and my family, we'll serve the Lord. You know why that version is wrong? Because here's what Joshua said. I don't care who comes in my house. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If it's just me and my family, that means somebody come over and live like they want to. Joshua said, uh-uh. As for me and my house, that who are ever in there, mama-in-law comes over, papa-in-law comes over, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm not letting anything in my home that will harm my kids. I want to keep a clean environment. We have to be careful, keep our fingers on the controllers and on the knobs and keeping our home sanctified and holy. Because why? We got kids in our home. We got kids that are watching us and they're watching what we're watching. And we must keep our homes clean. Why? Because I want the fruit of my home to be a Brody that has a good home and he's serving the Lord. I want Shelby to be a pastor's wife, a missionary. I want her to love the Lord, and she's not going to do that if our homes are a wreck, if our homes are filthy and dirty with the world in it. I'm telling you, we got to get it out of there and say, you know what? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We got to clean it up, my friends. Get out the stuff that don't. Hey, if you can't have it in church, you don't need it at your home. Amen. And we must get back to seeing that there is a fruit of a right marriage. It's a clean environment. Number two is children that carry on God's design. I'm going to say this, and I'm not talking to anybody here. I'm talking to that crowd out there that ain't even listening. But I want to say this, is that if we mess up God's design of marriage, then the next generation is going to mess up God's design of marriage. But here's what I want to say tonight, that if kids see that if God's design is not right, they will seek another design. What am I saying? Is that if a man and a woman, mom and dad, their marriage is not working right, kids are going to see that. And they're going to seek another design. Amen? In other words, me and Brody, and I know Pastor with his boys, we like those little helicopters. Man, they're little. They're like $19. You can get them at CVS. We love them. They last about a day, but we have fun while they last. But me and Brody got one time, and it wouldn't do nothing. I hate it because it was a bad design. It was cheap. It was like $10. I should have known better. It was at the Dollar General, too. I should have known better. Bad design. You know what? It didn't work the way that it was supposed to. It was supposed to go up 300 feet, supposed to fly, you know, at 20 mile an hour, whatever it was. That thing barely got off the ground and went right into a ceiling fan. It was done. We were done. You know what I done? I sought out another design that was better. If one doesn't work the way that it's designed to work, I seek another design. And I want to say on my part, I'm preaching to me, is that I've got to be careful how me and my wife's marriage is, because I want my kids to want a marriage like their mom and dad have. And if my marriage is wrong, my kids are going to go, I don't want to be a part of that. I was raised up in a home where my father and my mother had a horrible marriage. And I know my mom's probably listening tonight. Horrible marriage. I see my dad do things in our home. You know what? It took the grace of God to get inside my life. And I thought I could never marry anybody and love them because I saw how my mom and dad's marriage was. And then God's grace came and my mom got married to my stepdad. I saw a marriage that worked. I saw that there was hope. You know what? I want my kids to see that me and my wife, we had got a great marriage. You say, wait a minute. Our marriage is never going to be perfect. You're exactly right. Here's what our kids need to see. I'm talking about my kids. When me and my wife, well, mainly my wife, when she's not nice to me, when I'm not nice to her, whenever things are not going right, you know what our kids need to see? Mom and Daddy making up and asking the kids, forgive us what you just saw. Let's get on our knees and let's pray. You know what? I want my kids to go, I want to be like my mom. I want Shelby to say, I want to find somebody like my dad that loves my mom unconditionally. And Brody, I want him to see a mom. I want him to see a wife that loves me unconditionally. I want him to say, you know what? I want my wife to love me unconditionally. By the way, guys, I'm telling you, our marriages are so important because our kids are watching us. Can I go a step further, grandparents? They're watching you too. We must keep our marriages right. How do we keep it right? Well, we must keep it right by keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ. Keeping our life in the book. A right marriage is God's design. When the marriage fails, the church begins to fail. We need to get back to a right marriage. God's design, not man's design. Man's design always fails. I can build stuff all day long. I love building. I'm horrible at it. It's usually going to be crooked. That's my design. And it's usually not going to last. You know why? Because I like taking shortcuts. Anybody that knows me knows that. You get around Brother Clark, you know, it's like, how did he do that? Well, he takes his time sometimes. And man, it's straight. I mean, you know, he actually measured it. Me, I'm like, I just put it up there. Brother Latta loves working with me. He's like, is that straight? Yeah, it looks good to hear from here. You know? Looks good. Nail it. That's my statement. I always say, nail it. No, I say it all the time. Nail it. It's good. He'll be holding a banner up there, the banner the other day. He's like, is that straight? Stick it. It's good. I'm ready to go. Come in later, like, man, that don't look good. Because that's my design. That's how I put it up there. Marriage is not going to be a fast thing. Marriage takes work. It takes sacrifice. How about your marriage tonight? I know mine's not perfect because I'm not perfect. My wife's not perfect. but we serve a perfect God. And we can show a great example to our kids. I look around this church and there's people that I've known now for 19 years or so. You know what you are? You're great examples to me. Amen. I think of the day Reed, Brother Reed, Miss, Brother Bubba and Miss Denise. Boy, I've watched them through the times. Boy, Miss Linda Reed, if we could clone her. Amen. Amen. We could clone the Scruggs and some other, watch the Zellners, and you watch these people that have been married for a while. And I, you know what I say? I hope I'm that way whenever I've been married 30 years, ever how many. That's what I want. I want a great example. One of the most chipper couples in this church are the Coxes. I don't know what they take, what kind of vitamins they're on. I work with Brother Cox out at the school. He gets here at 7 o'clock, and he's the same way. I don't know what you feed him in the morning. But you know what? I told Donya, I said, I've never seen the Coxes badmouth anything. I've seen their relationship, and I go, man, I want that. I want that. And you know what? Thank you for those examples, because I'm watching. And I have to have a pattern. My pattern's the Lord, yeah, but I want somebody else to live it so I can say, hey, we can do it. Amen. It can be done. Now, for you that are not married, good luck. You're going to need it. For you, and I say this because I was raised in this, and some of you are in here and you're not in the best marriage that it could be. Can I say, if you're a wife here tonight and your husband's not here and the marriage is bad, get on your knees and cry to Holy God. He'll hear the, I'm telling you, the Bible says that through the wife, the husband can be converted. God hears those prayers. And I'm telling you, I remember the day my stepdad got saved. We was at Atmore Baptist Temple in Atmore, Alabama. And my stepdad got saved. And I'm telling you, that was a great day. You know why he got saved? It was because my mom prayed for him. Because she was on her knees praying for her husband. And when he got saved, guess what it did to the marriage? It changed it. You hang in there. Husband, you here tonight? Your wife's not here. I don't know anybody like that. But, hey, I'm telling you, pray for your wife. God hears your prayers. Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'll pray, and then, Pastor, you come. Our Father, we thank you for the design of marriage that you've given us. Lord, thank you for that faithful design that has worked. It's been tried. It's been tested. And, God, I know tonight there's probably a lot of marriages here that just need a little extra care, a little checkup. And, Lord, I pray that they use these altars tonight. God, I certainly... my heart bows on this altar too. And Lord, there's work all of us need to do. But Lord, I pray we just get back to a right marriage. God, get back to your design. And Lord, I pray as we do that, Lord, that it would strengthen our churches. God, that we see souls saved. And Lord, that our children would be the fruit of that marriage, that right marriage. Thank you again for the night. Thank you for the opportunity you give me. I ask you to bless this invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hymn 153, I Surrender All. What a good message tonight. Really good. And, good checkup. I love, again, the picture, Christ and the church. Don't ruin the picture. Don't ruin the picture. Very good. Hymn 153, as we sing. Oh.